It's like I texted some people yesterday or the day before or whatever. I can't remember. And it had to do with, I think it was Sparks yesterday. He was saying, we can learn all the doctrine and the books and everything. We can learn about the historical Jesus. But what an uplift it is when you experience him for the first time. Right? When you have a living experience with God and you know somebody has been here other than myself. Somebody has been here other than myself. So we're starting to learn. Hey, Courtney. Hey, Tim. Yeah, I know Tim. Hey, Courtney, Tim. So, Tim, we just do it any old kind of way here, you know. You can dress whatever old kind of way. And the big thing is that we learn about God. And, you know, with him, you know, we have these hybrid cars coming out now. With him, it can't be a hybrid. It has to be all of him. Yeah, it's got to be organic. It's got to be strictly what he does. And a personal encounter with you. It's like all of us have this door always in front of us and God's sitting outside of it waiting. And as soon as we open it, he steps right in and shows us his glory. That's how simple it is. I know I'm probably oversimplifying it because of what religion has done, man-made religion has done to our culture. We made what's simple very difficult. We keep putting it back on us and what we do and what we don't do and where we came from, you know, Mississippi or whatever. Then God says, you know, forget about the culture. If you open the door, if you find something in here that says I need another person in here inside of me to do something. If you open the door, your whole life's going to change. And so, of course, the Bible has all of these examples of it, but it has to happen to you. And so here's what we do, Nisi. When it doesn't happen to us, we come up with our own little way our own little minds try to figure out what it must be. In other words, I got to go to church. I got to go to Bible study. I got to, you know, give $100. I've got to, you know, tithe and, you know, I've got to do all these external things. But you never open the door for him to come in. See? The whole thing with God. And by the way, until you've experienced it yourself, you have nothing to tell anybody else. Look, I have no business being up here if I just went to Bible school, Bible college, and learned the letter of the Bible. But the person of the Bible, the person himself, hasn't entered into my own experience. I have nothing to give you. There's nothing that can be transformed in your life unless something has been transformed in the one that's given it to you. Right? That's for somebody. There's nothing. So we have a whole lot of... a lot of people with Bible knowledge out there, right? I can kind of make fun of it a little bit. You know, here, Sherry, you know, people, I know the Bible. Well, do you know him? Have you had an encounter with love himself? Okay. And so here's God elevating us to his level. Now, that's something only he can do. So James will finally start to get dissatisfied with his own life and with his own achievements, and they just, for God, they have no value because you know, I wasn't in it. God, you know, you're doing it independently of him. And so James gets dissatisfied. This is just an example. James gets dissatisfied, and he opens the door. God, I thought I could do it myself, but I really need you. I thought I could live day by day by day by day without any divine help. But it keeps breaking down on me. God, I must need you. And so this is what happened. So look here. I said all this to say, over there, you know, here's my title. Okay, so let's just learn to be still and know God, right? Because the whole thing is about knowing God. And here's your criteria. And this is what the Holy Spirit, and this is what I'm trying to get across to all of us this morning. Learn to be still. In other words, learn to do nothing and receive the love. Because you and I cannot make salvation work. So God touches you, awakens you, Pastor Mike, and then here he comes again, right? And then here he comes again. And then all your part is oh, your receptor gets wider, if I can say it like that. Your spiritual receptor just gets wider and wider and wider. In other words, your capacity for more of God expands. See? Look, not by anything you did. See, here's what we do, Rainey. God visits me once, then I go out and start trying to do something for him. Right? He visits me, then I want to go, no, just let me work the work through you when I'm ready to do it. Right? You might not be ready to work the work. You might want it, but you're not ready to work the work. You don't have enough of me in you to represent me. Now, see, that's when you keep hearing sermons and stuff, and the sermons always say, go do something. If you really love me, go do something. The Bible says that if you love me, you'll work. And so you start doing it. And God say, wait, 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 wait. The condition for that is enlarged capacity. In other words, any work you do for me is really me working in you. It's not you doing it yourself. Okay. So tell me, we got to just slow down. And let God work, right? So here's the text, here's the scripture. Be still and know. You learn to be still, because here's what you're doing when you're in your stillness. Quilla, here's your stillness. God, I can't, what it's saying is, God, I can't do anything without you. That's your stillness. What your stillness is, God, I believe in you and not myself. Your stillness is faith, right? Be still and know. Here's the biggest thing about stillness. Here's the big thing about stillness. It's this hidden capacity to know God. Right? Be still and do what? Know me. Know me like we're having intimacy. Know me on a level that's past human thinking. Know me in that you and Jesus become one. Know me like, who else? Know me. Know me deeply. Get a deep revelation of me. Know me like you know the back of your hand. Know me so that when I whisper go, you go. Right? Or if I whisper stop, you stop. Know me in that deep way that human beings can't know it without me. In other words, when you start to know me, I lift you out of your own mind and put my mind in there. Now you start to think like I do. Otherwise, my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts until you start to know me. And then here comes Tim. I'm going to use Tim since it's the first time, Tim, we pick on you. Here's Tim. People say, Tim, why aren't you going out? Why aren't you going doing things for God? And Tim says, no, I'm getting to know him. And the knowing him has not governed me to go out and do anything yet. See, there's power in knowing. There's a power in knowing. Come on up, come on up, come on up. There's a power in knowing, see. So here's the enemy tries to bring discouragement, but when she starts to know, discouragement has no place because she's knowing a deeper person. She has eternal life on the inside of her. And the lies of the devil and the spirit of discouragement and the spirit of false prosperity doesn't move her anymore. Right? Look, why do I have the right job now? Because I know somebody that put me in it. Well, it's not paying much, but I still know that the one that put me there, the money doesn't matter to me. It's the knowing. It's the knowing. Are you following me? It's the knowing me. So it could be $5 an hour or $50 an hour. The knowing is above both of them, okay? We got to go into knowing. We got to go into knowing, right? So here's the devil keeps trying to throw stuff at her to disturb the knowing. Because, see, look. Find your place in God. Find your place in him, you know. Right? All around you is all kind of things going on, but can you find your place in him, right? I just know that I know in him what I'm supposed to be doing, right? He's breathing on me. He's given me divine prosperity and divine breath. Yes. Yes. And I know that I know that I know. Yes. Look, I have been still. And no, okay. Yes. I hate to let you go. I hate to let you go. Right. Because inside Aquila and inside of Tim, thanks for coming, Tim. There's a capacity for God in there. And really, all of the other things that we do, all everything that we try to find satisfaction in, you know, cars or trucks or, you know, we were talking about trucks yesterday, you know, some of them has got this high with the wheel this big, you know, and the guys, you know, everything that we find those deep pleasures in, it's because we have a capacity for God that we're trying to satisfy. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. All of the abuses and such. It's just there's a capacity for God. There's a divine hunger to be still and know somebody deeper than what I'm doing in the natural, right? So, you know, you find people like, why? You say, why did they do that? Well, because inside of them is a place, is this open door, there's a place that God desires to inhabit. That's every human being. It explains all what's going on. That the capacity can't be filled, so I go out and try to do something else. I get a better job. I want to excel, you know, I become a workaholic and I want to do this. Why? Because there's something inside of me that wants to exceed, to succeed, but it will not until that capacity for God is filled. And so you get these scriptures like this. Come to the secret place. See, Courtney's got this secret place inside of her. It's secret. See, it's secret in the sense that you can't see it, but she knows it's in there. The natural mind can't see it, but let God visit that thing, Sherry, one time. Let God visit it one time. Oh, that's what's going on inside of me that I, you know, even if I'm not conscious of it, it's still there. And then it becomes this awakening. See, it's a spiritual awakening. God visited me. Because, see, you don't see God on your own. If he in mercy, he comes to you and he visits you and you say, you found God, but really he found you. Really he found you. Because why? Because your greatest measure that will ever be through all eternity that God dwells inside of you. That you will never be satisfied with anything else until he takes up residence deep inside your spirit man. You'll never be satisfied with anything else. You know, you'll do this week, you'll do this next year, and then you'll be excited about it year after next. Okay, I got to find something else. Ever been there? And here comes God. When you least expect it. When you least expect it. Look, he sits you down in here. And he said, come here. Let me share my glory with you. I want to know you. I just want to know you. Isn't that what Paul prayed? And I want to know you. Jesus, I want to know you. And your power of your resurrection. I just want to know you. I want to be still and know you. I want to know you. Let's do that scripture in Genesis. I like this one. Right? When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. Okay, so here we go. This is scripture. And a deep sleep fell upon Abram. Abram. Why? Be still. Look, sometimes Pastor Joy about to minister, when she started, I said, oh, she's been in a deep sleep, right? In other words, she's still, she's resting. Something happened to her. She stopped all her outward going. She stopped all of her everything that kind of saturated her mind. I got this responsibility. I got this responsibility. She had to stop. Same thing happened. A deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abram, look, what's the next word? No. No of a surety. There's a knowing in God. In other words, we have this scripture here about a deep sleep fell upon him. And we just said, well, I wish that would happen to me. Well, that's what God's trying to do to you right now. You be still and know, right? It's just the environment. It's an environment comes upon you. It's just the atmosphere changes. You know, it's kind of like I can send Quilla something to read and she can read it and it doesn't mean anything. But then a deep sleep falls upon her. I mean, not like, you know, but then she gets still. The environment changes. Oh, these scriptures are now coming alive, or whatever I sent to read is coming alive now because the environment changed. You know, you got still. Here's Tim saying, I need this God atmosphere to understand this. Look, when I send stuff and if it falling off like water off a duck's back, just put it down. Wait for the environment. Wait till you're still. Wait for the deep sleep. And it doesn't have to be, deep sleep is sort of a phrase for us now, but see, when we read the Bible religiously, we make that just for Abram. That's not for us anymore. But it's not supposed to be that way. A deep sleep doesn't mean that you know, it's always you sleep and God. It's like, if I can put it this way, it's like Nisi came up and prayed up here. I laid my hands on her and a deep sleep came upon her. In other words, her environment, she could receive spiritually. You know, she could receive from another realm. She could get something from a realm that the natural mind can't understand. Thank God. Thank God. See, sometimes you go over her house and she's not going to answer the door because she's in a deep sleep. Are you following me? And then we just have to respect that. We can't say, why don't Pastor Jerry open the door? I know she in here. She must don't like me. You can't do that. Give her the respect of being in the garden environment. See? You got to give that to her. Because when she come out, she's going to have something that's not heard of by man. Wow. It's like something here about praying for people again today. because this thing has to get imparted to us. It belongs to another order. It doesn't belong to what man made. It can't. I don't care if your title is deacon, head deacon, chief apostle, or whatever. It doesn't matter. This thing has to come through God himself. He has to be present there. It can't be just a teaching. There has to be a personal presence, a personal, just like God came to Abraham. Then he said, as soon as Abraham got down in there and got into that atmosphere of heaven, here's God saying no and a different level of surety. Jerry, it's the same as when Elijah came out and said, no, for surety, it's not going to rain. Why? Because he had been waiting on God. An impartation came from heaven itself. Heaven met Gloria. Heaven met Elijah. And as soon as it comes like that, you're part of another realm. Here's God saying to us, we're ready for our capacity to be enlarged. I'm telling you what's going on. Your capacity is large enough now to, oh, God, if you did that with Abraham, I know you're going to keep, that was just prophetic of me. That's why I've been saying, okay, we, you know, get away sometimes. Did I read all that? You shall no longer be a stranger in the land, and you shall serve them, and shall serve them. They shall afflict them for 400 years. You know, the rest of that. But my point is, there's an assurance that's coming to you. As we continue to wait on God and get revelation from heaven itself. See, Tina, how do you know the names of God aren't just names in the book anymore? You know, you didn't read about that. Here God visits you and reveals that to you experientially. Okay? So that something else clicks in your mind and the whole definition of prosperity changes. You know, well, you remember what you said? The ability to define a thing now changes. Words don't mean the same. Prosperity means something totally different now. Right? There's something that when God's touched, you know, you can read about prosperity and then you can follow a prosperity movement. And it take you on for so long, then you finally realize this was nothing. Whether it take you 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, you know, this was just name it, claim it. This was just, you know, for your flesh. But let God step in there. I'm talking about the person. Right? I'm talking about so to speak, he splits the animals and walks in between them. But you walk in between it with him, okay? Right? Come on, Tony, grab my. Mike, imagine this. This is Old Testament. This is Old Testament. He said, Abram, split the animals. Cut the animals and walk through there with me, right? Walk, because I'm making a covenant with you. Now you can live on what we just did eternally. You can live on that. Thank you, Tony. I won't let you go either. Yes. Look, Tim, it does something on the inside of you. You know, Shelley, it's enough that he blesses you to be the father of all nations. I mean, but bigger than that is he got inside of you somehow. Right now, before you couldn't even hear his whispers. Now, once he gets inside of you, all he got to do is, ha, ha, ha. He said, what happened to me? Right? Something jerked in there. Right? You kind of know when the red light or the green light's there. You go, oh, I can't do that. You say, and people say, why? Something inside of me stopped me. Or someone inside of me is governing the whole territory that I live in. So, more examples, Raquel, more examples. More examples. So he breathes. That was God. Then he felt like he let go. This is so practical here. And you're like, what happened? I wish I could have it all the time. It feels like he let go, but he hasn't. He just hasn't let go. It feels like it was, what happened to the experience I had? He's still there. He's just teaching you to walk by faith, not by sight. Right? He's teaching you to walk by faith. He's still there. Look, he's still breathing. It just might not be that breathing, but he's still there. You can never let that go. You can never let that go. Just as sure as we have still days out here and the wind is not blowing, but you know there's still air. There are days in the spirit where, you know, it's still, the wind's still blowing, you just can't feel it. But you still got to know. K-N-O-W, know that I'm still inside of me and I still know. The whole issue with Adam in the fall is that he lost his no. Right? He lost his no. He lost that deep knowing God past what human understanding can get. And then when Raquel starts to really, the times get hard, and God says, okay, I gotta give another witness. I don't know. But then, follow me. But then they come more frequently. Keep coming. Right? Stay the whole time. But the knowing keeps picking up. Right? After 2 years, Raquel, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I don't belong to Mississippi. I belong to heaven, right? I don't belong to Mississippi. You know how long it takes people to get rid of that? It takes people a long time to get rid of that. That being, I'm from Mississippi. It takes a long time because we're so earth-oriented. And God's like, no. Look, the scripture's full of it. You're a citizen of heaven. And he's so jealous of that. But then I asked Nisi, where's she from? Mississippi? And God's like, no. You know, this church just started renting some space from us. And I asked the pastor, you know, where are you guys based? You know, and he says, our home base, this is a big organization, you know, Pentecostal. Anyway, he said our home base was in Puerto Rico. And as soon as he said that, here come the knowing inside of me. Where's your home base? Heaven, isn't it? Right? Right? I don't say that 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I say my base is right here. Now I know where my base is. But that comes through more and more visitations, more and more understanding, more and more revelation, more and more knowing. Look, Tony, again. More and more knowing my place in God. Finding my place in God. Knowing him. Finding my place in God. Because down inside, Tony, there's a place in God. And the God in God, there's a place in God for Tony. And see, his whole thing for you and me is finding your place in me. I'm not asking you to do this, that, those, that's another. You know, just find your place in me. And let me just breathe on you more constantly. Get in secret and learn about me. Just like Abram, I'll put you in a deep sleep. That you'll know me. In the power of my resurrection. This thing can get so deep. Yeah. That you don't even want to speak of this world anymore. Because you have a whole nother world that you live in. and it's more real to you than that chair you're sitting in. It can get so deep. Again, this is what Adam lost. This is what Adam lost, right? Because remember that the curse was, cursed is the ground. So men get attached to the earth not knowing that they have a heavenly habitation, that they're citizens of another world. And you know what? You know, we have this little saying, Rob. When you're going to go out and have a good time, you say you're going to paint the town. Why don't you paint heaven red? You understand? Then they're going to, why don't you twerk up upstairs in the glory, you know? You know, God's jealous over this stuff. He's jealous over it. You know, as long as we adhere to the natural, there's no beauty about us. We try to dress it up, but there's no beauty about us. Until we sync up with him. And then we find out what we were made for. We find exactly out what we were made for. You know, otherwise the whole world lies in deception. In other words, we live in a realm of deception. It's not like it comes every then, now and then. Every day when you wake up, Satan's going to try to deceive you. You live in deceptive air, if I can say it. The whole world lies in wickedness, said 1 John. See, that scares me. You know, that scares me the right way. God, wake me up to where you live. I don't want to live down here anymore. There's a whole realm that we can find our spot in. You understand? There's a spot there waiting for you, waiting for you. But only God can reveal it, see? And it's not like he gives it to you. He's in it. He's it. You know, he gives it to you by giving you him, if I can say it that way. You find your place in God. Get still and find your place in God. You know, don't go to prayer with 1,000 petitions. Don't do it. Just learn how to wait on him. Just, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't even know what I'm supposed to be. I can't even define what I'm supposed to be. You got to show me that. You know, Rainey, the whole love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, how we thirst for that. God, I don't see nobody walking in that. So I don't care how many lessons we have. And he's the Lord. Yep, because I'm the only one can put that inside you. You can try to get it your own. You can read it 5,000 times a week. It's not going to happen until you find your place because in me, because he's the chapter. he's the chapter. It's living, right? So, you know, here's Tony destined to walk outside of himself and inside somebody else. Does that make sense? So here's your prayer. God, get me in you. Let me find my place in you. Forget about being externally minded now. Let me wait for your work. What's the scripture say? God works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, right? And so what do, we try to make God pleasure by what we do. And God said, no, just wait, right? Listen, Sherry, let something subside down inside you. Let it go down so I can feel that place with myself. Let all your thoughts, all what you thought was religion, all what you thought was church, all what you thought was the Spirit, all what you thought was pleasing me, let that all go down and let me fill it back up with what really is me, because it can only come from heaven and it can only come from above, right? We're getting that, right? Thank you, Tony. I hate to let you go. What does that do? That makes us all, it makes us all qualify for this eternal life. It makes it all, makes us all, anybody can let down, whether you're uneducated, you know, whatever you, whatever your station is in life, it makes us all, qualify for God to come and dwell in it. What did Jesus say? I'm going to dwell in you, and I'm going to have my Father come dwell with you, and I'm going to you're going to be my abode, and I'm going to manifest myself to you. It's God pulling you out of you. Can I say it like this? So that you and I can be so one that we can't tell the difference. Look, whoever has this hope purifies himself. He'll make himself known. So I'll just prophesy. You know, Courtney will be just put the kids to bed, getting ready to, you know, go to bed herself, have her little nighttime things going on, whatever she does, not even thinking about it. And then here comes the Spirit of the living God. She might have thought, Courtney might have gone and put the kids, those three lovely boys, to bed and said, now is my time. And here comes God saying, no, it's my time. Right? So valuable. So past us. So much grace. So much personal relationship. Look, it may take Tony 10 years, and I'm not saying that, prophesying, but just an example, but we have to wait for God to meet Tony to expect too much of Tony. Don't expect much of him till God comes. We put too much pressure on people. They can't do nothing on themselves. Right, Tina? We gotta wait for God to come. And see, then God will do stuff that you never thought he could do. He just didn't do stuff. You know, Pastor Jerry's son passed how many years ago? 10 years ago. I told her back then, I said, he's more valuable to us than heaven. I'm dreaming the other night. And her son's in the dream. And he's coming into the prayer room, right? In other words, he's praying for us. See, heaven is praying for us that we would release this earthbound stuff and what we think we want to do, because you need prayer for that, because if I can talk for Glow, she want to do what she want to do. Never mind. I got a key. I can get in. She's going to change the lock, she said. Right? See, we all want to do what we want to do. You need somebody praying for you. And you need somebody praying for you from heaven. Or from the heavenly realm. From the heavenly realm. In other words, I'm going to wait on the Lord. I've learned this, Shelly. It takes you a long time. I mean, even when I read the books about the, I still wouldn't do it. Now I know I got to wait on the Lord. I got a Christian Davis dream here in a minute. So the more I wait on the Lord, is my point, for him to initiate things, the more I pray for people in the spirit. In other words, I just decide, I'm going to pray for Shelly today. It's okay, but something if I'm just waiting on the Lord and then Shelly pops up. Right? Now I got him with me in my prayers, So I don't know how to pray as I ought to, but when the Spirit comes, I can start to land on the right ground and pray and petition by the will of heaven instead of what I think needs to be prayed for. You ever heard people pray sometimes? They pray for China. They pray for Russia. They pray for all the lost kids. They pray for... I'm like, stop praying. Stop praying. All we do is spouting words. Come on, Tina. Can we wait? Can we wait on being taught how to pray? Or do we think we already know how? Can we wait? Do you know you need the Spirit for everything? Can you wait? Can you wait? And look, when I'm waiting and praying, now I have a no. See, you know what I'm trying to say? If you wait for the no, the K-N-O-W, then your prayers will go a long way and something of God just got inside of you just because you waited. Here's the way Jesus put it. In your patience, possess ye your soul. You know. Thank you for divine waiting. See, there's something about her that, you know, you somebody said this to you the other week, and it's so true. You know, you're not your mom, and you're you. But there is something of your mom that came off on you, and that's prayer. I guarantee you that. Look, have you heard her pray over the children? There's something on her, see? There's something on her. There's even the spirit of discernment on you. And so you'll pray by the Spirit and land on holy ground when you start praying. You'll pray because of the righteous nature in you of Christ. And now that teaches you how to pray. That even washes you, Tina, Bina. It washes you. White as snow. Now you do it with a confidence and a rest and a surety because you know of an assurity you're going to be thus and so because you waited and you're knowing. Watch the assurity and the confidence grows in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Keep it lifted up, Kevin. All right. We're starting to become a different people. We're starting to become a different people because the Spirit's taking over. And we're finding our place in Him. Glow, we're slowing down. Come on up. We're slowing down and finding our place in Him. With God, I just need to forget about religion. Forget about what people think of me. Forget about how it's supposed to look. How church is supposed to look. I just need to find my place in you. Forget about what it look on the outside. Forget about it. See, think about Noah. Even though the whole world don't understand it, he had a knowing that he had to build the ark. He found his place. He doesn't do that, Derek, without finding his place in God. God just didn't speak it to him, go build an ark. But something had to happen to him. He has to have his place in God to receive that. Are you following me? Look, you and I went out partying with the rest of the world. Unless we found our place in Him. Right? He's a living being that's jealous over you. It's like, just find your place in me. I don't care who else thinks whatever about you. Just find your place in me. When you pray, just let that be the first thing. God, I need to find my place in you. Look, my place. I need to find my place in you. Not Jerry's, not James's, not, you know. I need to find my place in you. And that's what's going to satisfy all my thirst for life. Right. And Glow is going to be out doing things in Him. And people are going to be mystified. How could she do that? Because she found his place, her place in Him. So, this is a wonderful walk we're in. Thank you. Jesus. So here you got people. Some dressed this way, some dressed another way. Some got long hair, some got short hair. You know, some are this and some of that. But yet, all of us can find our place in Him, no matter what we have on or what we don't have on or how we walk or where we came from. Doesn't matter. Rob, here's Enoch. found his place in God. Look, his Abram found his place in God. He didn't have a Bible to read. But he's, you understand? In other words, God's so after this for you. Before the scriptures were read, I knew Shanique from heaven. Before the scriptures were written, oh, she's got a place in me. The scriptures will help augment that, but they, if you use the scriptures the wrong way, all it'll do is keep you from it. It can't be Bible heads. See, Derek, there's an authority on you. How am I going to say this one? I'll use my natural born son for this. And Dre, come up here. See, you know, Rainier, we can keep elevating the spiritual things until the word means something totally different. Guys, remember the talents, how God, Jesus gave, talked about the parable, the talent, 1, 5, and 10. And so here's how Mike took that scripture. I can use him because, I pick on Mike. God gave me a talent, so I'm going to go out and use it. I don't care what he say about it. I'm just going to go out and use it. He gave it to me, I'm going to use it. Because you think that talent's for you to do whatever you want with it. But it's different. It's different, Nisi. Come here, Nisi. It's different. If God gave Nisi a talent to know him, right? I'm giving you a talent to know me. Right? Right? I'm going to give you a talent to know me. Because you won't know me unless I give you a talent to know me. So you think your talent's for you to go out and do. And people can say, oh, look at Raquel. She's, she got talent, That don't move God at all. I give her a talent to know me. Look. And it expands to two. Now her capacity expands. Now she's got two talents. Right? Right? And then it goes to 10. Because now she's starting to really know me. And get full of me, and I'm full of her, right? She's finding her place in God. He gives you even the talent to know him. But you got to use it. You can't bury it in the dirt, right? You can't bury it. And of course, if she buries it, I'm going to give it to somebody else. I like this talent to know God. Thank you, Nisi. I know I don't want to let you go. Okay, so here's God coming to you. See, you don't come to PWM by mistake. God gives you a talent to know him. You got to use it. And so here's a man. So here's a man not burying his talent, but he's increasingly knowing God deeper and deeper, right? Deeper and deeper, right? Right? Look, Shelly, your husband's got a talent to know God. Look, forget about him that he can sing or can't sing, whatever. Thank you, Dre. Forget about he can sing. Ooh, he got talent. Forget about whether he can sing or play a piano or whatever talent. Your biggest talent. The biggest reason you're on this earth is to know God. That's your biggest reason. 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 That's your biggest reason to be on the earth. If he lets you live to be 120, it's only so that you can learn more about your talent to know him. And if you don't know him, give you grace to try to get there before you die. That's the only reason you're on this earth. That's the only reason you're here to know him. That's the only reason you're here to know him. You know, we got all kind of movements and stuff, programs and such. We got so many programs by people that don't know him. It's the only reason you're here. God Almighty. See, it can be just like this. Come on, Kristen, since she walked in. Come on up here. You got a beautiful daughter. Stop right there. Stop right there. Right there. This is how personal it is. This is what God. So you got to get the personal aspect. You can't read the men in the Bible and say that for them. That's for them. You can't do that. See, you're Enoch to me. Don't go. You know, by the way, Enoch only lived for 300 something years. The people before him lived 800, and the people after him. In other words, he got translated while people were still on this that were, you know, older than him. What do you do if somebody's in your midst going to heaven without dying? What do you do? What do you do? How do you explain that? You understand? I mean, they live hundreds of years after. Right. His son. He goes before his son. And it's, you know, and the people born before him were still here. Tony, let's do it again. Just find your place. Enoch found his place in God. We want to live a successful life down here. Thank you, Tom. And God's like, you don't know what you're asking for. Your vision clouded. You see like natural men see. You see the men like trees or whatever. Thank you. Thank you. Because you're not your, Tina, you're not your own person anymore. You belong to an alien country. Everything's swapped. You belong to a new nation now. You're a stranger and a pilgrim in the land. And your destiny is somewhere in eternity somewhere. Did I do the scriptures? I like Psalms 46 in the Message. Let's do that. In the King James, it talks about be still and know, but I like the Message. And look, Rob, attention all. See the marvels of God. He plants flowers and trees all over the earth, bans war from pole to pole, breaks all the weapons across his knee, right? Then verse 10, instead of saying, you know, be still, he says, step out of the traffic. Step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. Be still. Step out of the traffic, everyday stuff. You got to step out of it. It's a realm away. I'm from another planet. I'm using that facetiously, but you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm not of this world. I got to get you to step out of it. By the way, remember when Abraham walked through, Tony, remember when we walked through that thing? Something strong with that one. Remember he had to shoo the birds away. I don't know if you remember that, but he had to shoo them. He had to shoo them. In other words, Satan keeps coming trying to destroy what's going on with you and God. But, you know, and the birds are symbolic of trials, not trials, but worries, fears, things that will keep you away from the kingdom of heaven. Okay. The notes, please. Then I'm going to set Pastor Jerry loose. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. If you get anything, here's what God specializes in. Revealing himself. I know how, I'm the only one that can reveal myself. I'm the only one that can reveal myself to you. I'm the only one. You know, forget about preaching, forget about books. But I'm the only, even the Bible, I'm the only one that I can reveal myself to you when you read the Bible. I'm the only one. In other words, until it's personal. Where's the KB leave? Christian. Okay. I have to use somebody else. Shelly, since you're over here having, get off of him. Get off of him. And stop. So, I'm not saying this is what just happened, but we can be too close to human beings that God can't reveal himself to us. I don't care if they're your husband, your wife, your mom, or whatever. Remember what Jesus said, don't love your mom and your dad. Catching this? Always love them and such, but you can. It can't be an item. So I sidetracked myself. And it's very good. Let me introduce myself. I'm from another planet. Oh yeah, you dreamed there. Right. Thank you. You give my testimony. Some of these other earthly testimonies are really nothing. You give my testimony. Let me shake your hand, right? Because we have a covenant together. I and you and you and me and we and each other, and we become one. We have this divine union. Now you can know that you know that you know that you're healed. You know that you're healed, right?
Hallelujah.
You know that you're free.
Hallelujah.
You know that nothing can make you captive any longer, right? You know it. 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 I'm the only one that can reveal myself to you. Keep letting me do it, right? Hate to let you go. Man, Mike, he took captivity captive. And then so that he can come introduce himself to you. Nothing's in the way now but you. Took captivity captive. Satan can't stop it. Satan can't stop it. Satan can't stop it. Even though he roams the earth, he can't stop this. Oh, that's how interested God is in you. Man, this stuff. He can't stop it. So I shook her hand. Let me introduce myself. The Spirit of God says. Then see, with the handshake is a quickening. Something come from him inside of her. Quickening, Tina, right? We get quickened by the Spirit. It's a living thing. Whew. I like what Andrew Murray said. Beloved, is not this what you long for? That God shall take a place that he has never had, and that God shall come to you in nearness that you have never felt yet. That's all we're thirsting for. God comes so close to me, you know. I don't want to know you in a book. I want to know when you come, let me introduce myself. It's like God was a man. Just like he was just a man. Just like he was telling, you know. You never met a friend like that. You have never felt yet. And above all, that God shall come to you in an abiding and unbroken fellowship. God is able to take his place before you all the day long. I repeat, he says, what I have referred to before, because God has taught me a lesson by it. Jerry, I'm getting to the point where blessings don't mean anything if he doesn't come with them. You know, at first you want a car, you want a house, you want your needs met. But if he doesn't come with them, something doesn't transact in my inner man. If I don't sense his glory and presence with it, Lord, I don't want that. I don't want it without you. It's an experience, see. We've been used to just getting blessed. A lot of our preaching is about God will bless you. But, you know, like Rick Joyner said, he'll bless things, though, but he'll bless what he won't inhabit. So that's nothing. You know, we want to be the habitation of God. It was a scripture saying the habitation of God is with men, and he'll rule. Did I have any more? As God made the light of the sun so soft and sweet and bright and universal and unceasing that it never cost me a minute's trouble to enjoy it. Y'all know where this is going, don't you? Mm-hmm. Even so, and far more real than the light shining upon me, the nearness of my God can be revealed to me as my abiding portion. More than the sunshine. God, let me find my place in you. Eva. Let us all pray that God may be all in all in our everyday life. Pastor Jerry. Oh, Shelly May, yeah. And then Pastor Jerry. Thank you for listening.
Last couple of days I've been having breathing problems. Just to walk to the car to get in it was a problem. But standing there just now without the air on, that wasn't a problem. That's why I had to begin dancing. Because it wasn't a problem. God was right there with me, and he was saying to me at that moment, Apostle, this is not a problem. This thing is not a problem. And I've just been dreaming like crazy, just dream after dream. I don't even know how to even start or articulate it. But it's not a coincidence that you kept calling Tony up, because I dreamt about Tony. And T, it was like you were a different person. You were all suited up, Rob. He had on this gorgeous navy blue pinstripe and gray suit and looked like one of your one-of-a-kind ties, Basarat, you know. I mean, had his briefcase. He looked amazing. He looked like he was going to interviews. That's what it looked like in the dream. And he stepped out of his house with assurance and went to like several of these high-rise office buildings. And by the time he went to like the fifth one, he came out, wore out, jacket off, tie hanging. Came out, wore out. And after he came out about the fifth building, he called you. And he said to you, I can't get this done in the dream. And you said to him in the dream, you said to him, you're in the wrong realm. You're in the wrong realm. Then the dream switched, and I was talking to Shanique and Rocky. And Shanique, you know, came in all happy like she always do. And she had on these kind of like spandex shorts. And they came over her knee. And then she had on this kind of funny looking spandex top. But the sleeves were sheer. And I said, what in the world do you have on? And she says, these are my traveling clothes. She said, so when I get beamed up, nothing will get attached to me. She said, I can just slide on through. In the dream. She said, I can just slide on through. And when you said beam me up, I thought about that old movie, Star Trek. And I said, so you're trying to tell me that we can get beamed to our other realm anytime we want to? And you said, that's why I'm dressed like that, so I can go anytime I want to. Oh, my God. And then the rest were just simple dreams. Like I had another one about Courtney and Sherry, but I can share those later. But I just wanted to share that one about being beamed to the other realm and that God is saying we can go whenever we want to go, but dress accordingly.
So I want to share something, just an experience before I share the dream. So Shelly, she's my sister, so we can share. Shelly, I loaned her something when we went out, you know, for her to feel more comfortable. And when I went home, because I told her I'm going to don't wash it, give it back to me so I can wear it when I go to sleep. But the crazy part, I could not put it on. And then you're talking about personal. This thing has to be personal. We have to make this our. It has to be our experience. So I couldn't wear it. Anyway, was it Saturday night? Saturday night, I had a dream. And I dreamt. It was just ladies. We were all, I don't remember where we were. But I only saw ladies and you were there, Pastor. And the ladies, somehow there was a river right where we were. And the ladies went into the river. But, you know, like they were baptizing themselves. You know, and people were helping each other go down, you know, baptizing. But this little girl, Heaven, we know Heaven. She's from the center. Her name is Heaven. She went down to baptize herself. And she went down. She was just floating on the river, on top of the river. And then a big bus came and slammed right into her. So the bus came, slammed right into her, and then I noticed all of us start going up, like elevating. And then the people in the bus, they were just coming out dying. They were dead. But everybody, all the ladies, we were just going up. Heaven now shoots up because the bus slammed right into her. Heaven came out of the bus and elevate too. And I'm like, I don't understand it. But I'm like, whoa. And I said to you, whoa, Pastor, look, that's so exciting. You know, like we were so excited. Even though we saw dead people in the water, we were so excited. And we just, I don't know if you guys ever watch movies when you see the angels going up. They were just elevating it. So I have to share my dream.
I thought someone else. Oh, wow. Wow, wow. Tim, it's unusual. I know this is a wonderful experience. It's different. But our life in Christ Jesus is supposed to be different. We can't have a walk like everybody else have if we're in Christ Jesus. So that's why we're different up in PWM, because our life is in him and his life is in us. And every time we come, he comes to minister to us individually as well as collectively. And I know everyone in this room got something from the message that God sent to us today. He gave us a mandate. He is not asking us. He's telling us to be still. He's telling us to be still. And I thank God that I learned to experience what the Holy Spirit wants from us individually, or what he wants from me. I told Pastor when he asked me this morning, he said, you look wonderful. I said, I had two really peaceful, restful, be-stilling days. I didn't know why I had to be in that posture. I didn't know why I didn't want to. Charlotte said, we want to eat together. I said, no, y'all, please go home. I just want to go home. I just had this urge for his presence. For his presence. And we don't get to know him outside of his presence. Oh, God, who can I do? Come here, Kev. That's my, that, he loves my daughter, but he loves me more. He loves me more because he know I gave her over to him. Isn't that right, Kev?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, there's a closeness that the Father wants from us. There's such a deep closeness. Pastor, as you was ministering, I felt like I was losing my body or something over there. I kept saying to the Holy Spirit, what are you doing in my body? And I believe, Rob, that was him coming in that intimate way. Because I desire to know him. See, if we don't want to know him, he won't break in on you. He'll let you go to 25 churches for 120 years. And you'll never get to know him. You'll know about him. But you never get to have that personal, sweet, loving, oh my God. One-on-one, Tina. Tina Bina. That one-on-one. That one-on-one. That one-on-one. That one-on-one that he wants from us. That intimacy. You can have a seat, son. That intimacy is so, he is so jealous and zealous over us because he knows how we toil and go through life empty, unfulfilled, wanting. And all you need, Tim, is one good experience. You don't need him to break in on you but one time. I don't care how sweet life has been. Just one time, Tim. And I prophesy over you that because you came to PWM, you're going to drink some PWM water. That's spiritual water. Isn't that right, Courtney? You don't need to come but one time. You don't need to dot those doors but one time, Tim. We prophesy and we know. We have a knowing that there is something spiritual going to transpire in your life. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, yes. I feel it coming on. I feel it transpiring. I feel it. There's a knowing deep down on the inside of me. You haven't been doing this, but y'all have, y'all know, y'all know Dorothy in, what's it called, The Wizard of Oz? You know how she clicked those heels, Tim? And she go, there's no place like home. Tim, there's something down on the inside of you saying, oh, there's no place like home. There's something down on the inside of you, man, that you've been longing for home. You've been longing for home. You've gone the long yellow brick road. But God is bringing you home. He's bringing you to himself. He's bringing you to himself. He's bringing you to that place of knowing. Courtney has tried to explain it to you, but you're going to have your own experience. Be still, know. Finding your place in him. It's so sweet, y'all. It's so wonderful. Oh, my God. Oh, 72 almost. And I'm telling you, things I have experienced in life has nothing compared to getting to know him and finding your place in him. I don't care what happens on the outside. I don't care what your flesh says. That place in him transcends everything. Everything changes. Everything, Tony, changes. All we have to do is be still. Find that quiet place, Sherry. Find that quiet place. You know, life itself can be an idol. Lord, why are you going to do this to me? Pastor Mike, you know you made me tell on myself, right? Oh, God. How do I say this? We know sickness is of the devil, right? God didn't send the corona, but he allowed it to come, right? Okay, life can be an idol. Okay, it's all of us in here, so, well, there might be somebody listening, so I can't say that either. This little child right here had a desire for life, right? To live, Pastor Mike. And there was a lot of sickness and stuff in my family. But you know what? Tony, come up here with me. You young. You about the youngest man in here, right? Come up here with Grandma. Put your hand on my back. Thank you. Whew. Rob, I was going to live. I won't have no sickness. Not this kid. Shella can tell you I'm going to exercise. I'm going to eat right. I took Tina to the park to walk with me one day. Tina didn't walk two blocks. I walked 5 miles, and I came back. She was sitting in the car. I loved life. You know, the other day, what the Holy Spirit said to me, some of what I've allowed to come to you is to bring you down from you loving life. I loved life. Didn't I, Shella? Ooh, y'all, I loved life. Pentecostal them tried to stuffle it out me, but it won't gonna take it out me, Rocky. You know, if they say black and white, it's gonna be sexy black and white. It was gonna be lace black and white. It was gonna be satin black and white. Come on now. I know I was gonna go to the pastor's office afterwards, but Sister Diggins, can I see you in my office? What you have on is not appropriate. It's black and white. But I love life, y'all. We can make life an idol. And there are lots of people that are doing that. They're vegans and all kinds of stuff, and they go to the gym and they do everything right and because they love life. They don't love the life giver. I knew about the life giver because I was raised in church. I knew about the life giver, but I didn't know he was my life. Cancer came and he became life. Y'all, I'm telling y'all, he became life. He became life to me. He wasn't a scripture anymore. He was life. He was bigger than chemo. He became life, Tony. When the sciatic nerve is pinched and they say, I'm not supposed to drive or walk, he's life. He's life. When the lungs are too scarred for oxygen to flow through it, he's life. He's real life. Colossians 3 said we are hid with Christ in God. Our real life. The Living Version said our real life is hid in Christ with God. Life. Be still and know. Find your place in life. He's life. He's life, y'all. We don't have to worry about COVID-19. He's life. He's life. He's your protection. He's your protection. He's your protection. He's your life. Kula, he's your life. He's your joy. He's your peace. He's your comfort. He's your hope. He's your strength. Find your place in him. The struggle ends. Lisa's going to start living now because she found her place in him. Kevin and Tina are going to live now. They found their place in him. Sherry's going to live now. She found her place in him. The struggle ends, y'all. Tim, the struggle ends when we find our place in him. You can have $1 million and still commit suicide because you don't know your place in him. Money doesn't buy it. Prestige doesn't buy it. Human love doesn't buy it. takes you finding your place in him. And then he elevates everything else to another level. He elevates human love to another level. Doesn't he, Sheree? I mean, Shaniki? Nikki, he takes human love to another level, doesn't he? To a whole nother level. Husband and wife, y'all want to love each other, do it in the spirit. Get to another level. Get to know him first. Get to know him. He'll show you something. He'll give you an understanding of what life and love is. He's life and he's love. He's love and he's life. He's not requesting us. He's telling us. He's telling us it's a different. Be still. Find your place in me. You want to start living now? Just find your place in me. Be still and know that I am who I say I am. I am. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending. I am, I was, I am, and I will forever be. Find your place in him. He's our answer to everything. There's not a question or a problem that he doesn't answer. He has the solution. He's been saying to me all week, I knew your beginning from the end. See, he looks at things differently. We look at the beginning. He looks at the end. He takes the end and talk about our beginning. And I wrote your story before you began. He wrote your story, buddy, before you was conceived in your mama's womb. Find our place in his story. See, we want to write our own story. This is what I want mine to say. I had written my own story. I was going to go to college. I was going to work as an executive. I was going to dress up every day. I was from Bip-Bap, Georgia. Well, Bip-Bap, Georgia, they say, the deepest part of the country that you can find. And this little girl wanted to be somebody. Tony, I want to be somebody. I'm going to be somebody. And the biggest somebody you can ever be is to find your place in him. Let him define who you are. Let him give you the definition of what your life should be. And I struggled with that for years, Pastor Mike. For years I struggled with why my life couldn't be the way I planned it. You know what I mean? You know how we make our plans. Y'all know, by the time I'm 30, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to have this. I'm going to have that. Don't know him, though. We don't be still long enough to even hear him. I remember when my husband passed in 1992, and I was leaving the graveside. You know what the Holy Spirit said to me? Who you going to blame now? Because I had blamed him for all the things that I couldn't be. He was a hindrance to my life. He stopped me. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. As I look back now, it was the Holy Spirit that helped me. Because I wouldn't be standing here right now. I'd be on my way to hell in a handbasket. And thought I was having fun. And you know what I mean? We don't even know what he's helping us with. And how he's helping us. To not destroy his plan for our lives. When he let trouble and trials and roadblocks come, tell him thank you. He knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows how to help us. Be still. Be still. He'll shut you right on down. He knows how to do it. But he loves us enough. He loves us enough to do that. So I thank God for his command to us today to be still, know him, finding our place in him. See, and don't go out here thinking you know your place in him. I don't know my place yet. I'm finding. We are finding. Don't let stupidity get on you. And talking about, No. We are finding. We're still searching. We're still looking for to land in that place he has for us. And that is to live eternally with him and be beamed up whenever we to ascend and live in that heavenly place. We're still finding it. We're still on that journey. We're on our way. Pastor, it's okay if this young man pray us out. Praise Jesus.
Glory, 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 glory. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God. We just thank you for this message from heaven, this message from within us, oh Lord God, as your spirit is dwelling in us, Lord God. Thank you, oh Lord God, that you tell us to go in you and get lost in you, Lord God. I thank you, oh Lord God, that we can get lost in your love, that we can get lost in your presence, that we can lose ourselves, all of us, Lord God, and truly be found by you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this new identity, this new birth, oh Lord God, that you're changing our thinking, you're changing our minds today, Lord God, that we can be able to be more like you. Heavenly Father, this is a rejoicing moment, oh Lord God. Heavenly Father, this is a turning point, oh Lord God, in our lives. Heavenly Father, for we live not to ourselves anymore, but we live unto you. Our lives have changed forever, Lord God, when we find ourselves in you. Heavenly Father, this is your long, and this was the call from the beginning when you formed man from their womb, oh Lord God. When you wanted to make us like you. So we thank you, oh Lord God, that that has not changed, that you have not given up, you have not turned away. Your zealous and your jealous love still calls us to be like you. So we thank you, oh Lord God, it is not by our hands, oh Lord God, or not by our toil, oh Lord, of the ground, Lord God, but it is something that is supernatural that happens from heaven, Heavenly Father, that our conversion, oh Lord, will be certain. So we just thank you for this victory, Lord God. That Heavenly Father, as we take this step, oh Lord God, this is a milestone, Lord God, but yet we still have more to go. We still have a lot more to be found in you. So we, oh Lord God, say, have your way. We willfully give our lives to you. Have your way. Spirit, have your way in us, Lord God. Have your way, Holy Spirit, in us, Lord God. For there is nothing that we can do in ourselves, Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord God, it is in your good pleasure, oh, Lord God, that you do this work. So we thank you in Jesus' name. And we just pray that you keep everyone, keep our families, keep our loved ones, keep ourselves, Lord God, in you. In Jesus' name, amen.